You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
The clock is ticking on an international deadline you may not even know anything about. And here, where you can hear the sound of running water, right there, you might say they're ahead of schedule. In Ruhira, in southwestern Uganda, this sound and the prospect of running water making its way toward a cluster of villages here is a test of the United Nations Millennium Development Goals. There are eight of them, from halting the spread of AIDS and HIV to cutting extreme poverty around the world in half by 2015. And half a world away from Uganda, the world's leaders are at the United Nations here in New York this week to assess the progress of these goals. But back in the village of Ruhira, they can tell you a thing or two about progress. Meet David Sariri, the team leader for this Millennium Village project. On a drive around the area with our partners, the BBC, David talks about a simple goal for the village: reducing the deaths of women in pregnancy and childbirth.
This was an area that was very notorious for high levels of death of women because it's very remote. The closest town is Imbarara, which is 50 kilometers away. You can imagine a pregnant woman, you know, to travel that distance on a bicycle.
Uganda is one of 10 countries across Africa taking part in the Millennium Villages project. The idea is that you target a cluster of villages with lots of aid so that eventually aid is no longer required. The method and the message for achieving progress all become part of the fabric of the village itself. At a community radio station, there's advice on nutrition, running a small business, how to get more from your land, better yields, and beyond. Drive time radio programming that is a matter of life and death, according to one of the hosts.
One of the programs is called Bwashesha. That means in the morning, good morning. This program is basically to take out that man who is down in the bed sleeping, to go out and work. And then there's another program, Omkozi, that is the workers program. I'm talking to somebody who is at work at that very time, is busy working, getting some money in the day.
Is the message being received? Well, somewhere off the beaten path, our partner at the BBC, Mike Wooldridge, meets up with Unido Nismas. He's one of the local community leaders trained to work on the front line. Nismas checks on whether 21-month-old Edison Mungaya is growing as he should. And he's also there to test for something else.
Now, you've just done a malaria test here. What does that show? What's the result?
The result is positive.
So the child has malaria?
When it comes positive, that means there is malaria parasites.
Malaria, you see, remains Africa's biggest killer. One child dies every 30 seconds from this treatable disease. At least Edison stands some chance, with people like Unido around, to administer an anti-malarial drug. Which brings us back to David Sariri, who's running this particular project.
I think we have done our job of getting the lessons out. We have done our job in sharing these lessons with government. The donors are promising, you know, to provide money. I'll be disappointed if these good lessons are not replicated. But I have a hope that that is going to happen.
Hope that the water eventually makes it all the way to these villages in Uganda, and that the United Nations messages of the Millennium Development Goals stick in these African communities. A small test of a global initiative. And joining us now in the studio is Michael Claassen, former U.S. ambassador to Cyprus and the current vice president for policy and humanitarian response for Save the Children, a non-government organization dedicated to helping children in need around the world. Michael, good morning.
Thank you.
How would you evaluate, as an NGO, the Millennium Development Goals as an initiative and how close we are to achieving those goals by 2015?
No, I think the Millennium Development Goals set an agenda that really sort of concentrated the attention of governments across the world, donors, developing countries alike. It set eight, as your colleague said, eight specific goals and their specific benchmarks so we can tell whether or not we're making progress. And I would say that progress is possible. It's mixed and more needs to be done.
Is there a particular region where progress is a great showcase and other regions that are proving to be much more troublesome?
I think I don't want to sort of characterize it
sure.
That way. I think you have to look at it country by country and goal by goal. And I think as long as you have plans, you have focus on results and outcomes, that there's you can achieve all of these goals.
In a sense, the whole Millennium Development Goals initiative is also a test of a methodology for getting the international community to do something besides talk or have, you know, sort of concerts for relief aid. How do you think this methodology is working to focus attention and get specific outcomes delivered?
Well, the goals do focus attention, and we see at some of these summit meetings at the G8, for example, in Muskoka, Canada, there were some commitments made to additional financial investment in maternal and child health. I think the point about this session in New York is that we're looking, particularly Save the Children, is looking for a very strong signal of commitment to the world's children, to put them in school, to reduce the threat of diseases from preventable causes. And then when the leaders leave New York, go back home and step up the action. Because at the end of the day, as the little clip on Uganda showed, what matters is what goes on in the field.
Is there accountability? In other words, are the people who are still waiting for the water in 2014 and 2015, do they have a place to go to register their complaints that the goals haven't been realized in their particular part of the world?
Again, it varies very much by country, but I think the whole narrative of accountability has very much come onto the global agenda. We saw that at the G8 summit in Muskoka. There was a report where the G8 countries said, this is what we had pledged to do, this is how we're doing on it. There's an action plan or a global strategy that's being put forward on maternal and child health by the Secretary General and world leaders on Wednesday, and accountability is built into that. It's very important, and civil society needs to hold government's feet to the fire.
Well, quickly then, who's on the hot seat here? Is it Ban Ki-moon if the goals aren't met, if things sort of slip? Is it Barack Obama? Is it the G8? Is it a particular set of NGO agencies?
I think we're all on the hot seat. This effort to achieve these goals is really a matter of partnership and focused action. Outcomes, and it doesn't rely solely on developing countries. It doesn't rely solely on government. We all need to pull together in this direction because it can be done.
And the summit is taking place here in New York. The last day is tomorrow. The assessment of the Millennium Development Goals at the United Nations as part of the General Assembly. World leaders gathered from around the world to assess this. Michael Clausen, Vice President for Policy and Humanitarian Response for Save the Children, also former U.S. Ambassador to Cyprus. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.